walking through the vastness. Vastness of a field. Field surrounded by wild, or should I say free fauna. A freeway on one side, trachomes on the other. Walking with my firstborn, 4 years old. Little warm hand in my hand, trying to introduce him to the earth, our mother. Thinking about this field before the Western invasion, and how much of my view is original, and how much is foreign. My thoughts start to wander, and I remember the wise words of an elder under an arbor, asking out loud, "What is spirituality?" And he replies to himself, "The understanding and feeling of connection to everything in this world and universe." And as I walk towards the middle of this vast field, I hear less and less the freeway, and less the surrounding streets, and more, I begin to hear the breath of the wind, and the stillness of this vast field. And this only nurtures my thoughts in a non-linear way, and a sense of security, calmness, soulless but interconnectedness begins to overwhelm my sense of being. And I feel so good. I feel so at home. When out of the stillness of this field, in a most soothing way, I hear, four times, the Creator seems to be speaking. And for a brief, quick moment, that felt like for the States of America, there was no pain, no World Bank, no IMF, no hunger, no bosses, no leaders, no English or Spanish language, no race tripping, no self-hate, no churches, no guilt, no borders, no egos, no fear, no pollution, no politics, no in-house set tripping. There was only respect and balance, and it was all good, all love in that field, in that moment, in my heart.
All right, you're listening to NSN, Native Solidarity News. JJ's got a couple more news items here.
Yes, I do. That's true. Okay, our next two stories are a bit more local. The first is just an announcement. I believe this was sent out, this is a call out sent out by the Indigenous Peoples Solidarity Movement, which is an organization based in Montreal, about the situation in Gonesitage. So the announcement is, the J-12 arrestees need courtroom solidarity. Come support the people of Gonesitage while they fight for justice. This Thursday and Friday, the 6th and 7th of October, plus Monday through Friday next week, 19 people from Gonesitage will be in court to defend themselves and their actions last January 12, 2004, the day the community of Gonesitage said no to the federally appointed Grand Chief of the Gonesitage Band Council and his supporters on council, as well as the colonial governments of Quebec and Canada. This was the day that James Gabriel tried to invade the community with his personal goon squad of 67 cops, bought and paid for by the federal government. They were thrown out and are now out for good, but the struggle continues. 24 people were originally charged for allegedly rioting and forcible confinement. Of the 19 remaining facing charges, no one accepted the Crown's deal of a guilty plea with $500 fine in exchange for a discharge. They want their day in court, and now it's here. Self-defense is legal, and they want to let everyone know. So show your support by sitting in court with them as they fight for their freedom. Let your friends and communities know that the struggle continues. You can email ipsm@resist.ca. That's ipsm@resist.ca for more information, or to get a ride up to the courtroom if you are in the Montreal area. The next story is from the Albany Times Union newspaper. Claiming that their rights are being trampled, a group of Kanyen Kake, commonly referred to as Mohawks from Akwesasne, and their allies in other Native communities, want the Pledge of Allegiance taken out of their schools. The sentiment comes after the local Board of Education tried to ban the Thanksgiving address, a traditional ritual, and decided that it shouldn't be part of the academic day. Quote, if they are willing to leave the address alone, we're willing to leave the pledge alone, says Colleen Farwell, a parent taking the issue to court. Quote, it's about culture, said Farwell, a Crow person from Montana who moved to Akwesasne when she married a guy Nikahake. There is a sort of deculturization that happens to all of us. She and others readily admit the approximately 2,100 student Salmon River School District recognizes the Native culture. Students can study Ganaina Kahake history, and at the high school, which is about 65% Mohawk, posters feature subjects like Akwesasne women in sports. Lacrosse, a game originated by Indigenous people, is popular here. The U.S., Canadian, and Haudenosaunee flags fly at equal height outside the building. Akwesasne is split in half by the U.S.-Canadian border along the St. Lawrence River. But spend some time with folks, and it doesn't take long for horror stories about the past to spill out. Jean Hearn, 71, remembers how a bifurcated existence led to a nervous breakdown in her 20s. I got strapped 6 times on each hand for each Mohawk word I used, said Hearn. I had to be an Indian girl at home and a white girl at school. It's against that checkered history that some viewed the events this past May. According to the lawsuit, the school board got a complaint about the Thanksgiving address, which includes a reference to the Creator. The board sought a legal opinion from its Syracuse-based law firm, which advised it to stop playing the words over the public address system. Creator, the school district's lawyer said, could be construed as a reference to God. But Mohawks say the meaning is lost in translation. Mention of the Creator, said Edward Smoke, is merely an acknowledgement of the creative force of nature. The Thanksgiving address, she added, is an ancient ritual in which Mohawk acknowledge the bounty of nature, including water, sunlight, trees, and animals, which has sustained for centuries. The title Thanksgiving Address means words that are spoken before an important event. It's distinct from the holiday of the same name. Bringing God into the issue, said Edward Smoke, was just another example of how white culture sees things through a narrow prism. Expunging the Thanksgiving address angered some students who held a demonstration in the auditorium. We had a silent protest, said 8th grader Wishy David, 14. The suit also notes that a Christmas tree and Christmas carols are present in the school around holiday time. Farwell's suit doesn't specifically ask to have the Pledge of Allegiance removed, but it is cited prominently in court papers. A recent federal appeals court ruling in California prompted Farwell and others to question whether the pledge should be recited in their communities. In the California case, a judge upheld an earlier decision that the phrase, under God, in the pledge amounted to the unconstitutional establishment of religion. The decision applies only in California, but has received the national attention and could help form precedents elsewhere. Again, that is from the Albany Times Union newspaper. You can check out that website if you are interested in more information on that story.
Thanks, JJ. Right now, the feature that you did hear today was the interview with Delbert and Gene Sampson, a Native shaman, both Native shamans who work within the prison system, helping our Native brothers and sisters. The music that you heard through that interview was came off the Red Wire compilation, which you can find at redwiremag.com, all one word. Right now, we're going to come up with some more of our own tunes here.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. This is NSN, Native Solidarity News. Now, JJ's got just one last piece to put out.
It's not really a piece. I just wanted to say while doing my reading for this week's news briefs, I came across an interesting story that I didn't actually have time to talk about, but it's something to worth watching, I think. Premier Gordon Campbell in BC made some very interesting comments about the history of the treaty process in BC. If you want to check that out, the Globe and Mail has an article in the Thursday, September 29th edition of their paper, an article by Rod Mickle-Burr. I'm not going to get into it, but it was interesting, so if you're interested in it, check it out.